Praise the Lord.
God is so good to us, isn't He? And we've enjoyed this evening. It's exciting to see the choir sing and the young girls sing, probably scared to death, but that's good. I have to get up here and preach, so you can imagine what I have to go through. Once in a while, a preacher will say, "Don't duck your head back there. We're not having a prayer meeting. I'm preaching." Amen? Sometimes a person will fall asleep, and so I just assume they're praying for me. The people that are awake are the ones that make me nervous. So I have to ask the Lord to help me with that. Amen. There ought to be a little bit of fear when it comes to proclaiming the message of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm delighted how many of you are here tonight. Wow. And we're thrilled that you're here. I believe God has put His stamp on this meeting because I sense people interested and hungering. That's what we need. That comes by prayer and fasting. That comes by getting literature out and doing your part that God might do the rest. Amen?
Amen.
Just before I get into my message, I'd like to mention I have a book table out back there. My wife's favorite tape, this is a CD, and it's Christ's Love Has Been There All Along. There's other songs called About the Cross, God Will Provide, God's Been Good, When He Spoke, God Already Sees, Turn the Tide, that's about our nation, that's a great song. I'm Not Ashamed, Run to the Cross, and Beulah Land, those are great songs, and your choir would love some of these, no doubt. But they're back there. All of the music CDs, I think there's about 7 or 8 of them. They're all $10 each. Normally they're $15, but we want you to have a break on it. And I hope you'll take advantage of it. We have some beautiful Bibles, new Bibles there. There's also a little section of used books, and that's just a donation. But there's some good study guides there and some helpful things there if you're interested. And there's also, I have some CDs on great preachers of the past that are powerful messages, and I think that you would delight in them. Take your Bibles, would you, and go with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I asked the Lord, "Lord, what should I preach?" You know, I have so many messages that I could preach, but I say, "Lord, which one do you want me to preach that would be the most helpful? I certainly don't want to waste your time, and I want to give you something that you can grab a hold of and remember." How many are ready to take notes tonight? Good, that's wonderful. I want to read to you our text in the book of 1 Timothy. We're looking in chapter 3. The first part talks about the qualifications for the pastor, and then the qualifications for the deacons. And then I want you to notice verse 15. I want you to notice it very closely. Paul is speaking to young Timothy and he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." And notice, then he describes what the house of God is, which is the church of the what? Living God, notice now, the pillar and the ground of what?
Truth.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, right? He was born of a virgin. Notice, we were justified in the Spirit. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. And then notice that last phrase, received up into where?
Glory.
Did you know the greatest thing that God could do for you is to translate you into His presence? The Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, and we know who's at the right hand, that's Jesus, there are pleasures forevermore. eternal pleasures. Oh my, it is wonderful to know Jesus, to believe in who He is. It's one thing to know about Him, it's another thing to put your faith and trust in Him. And we pray that you will do that. With that statement there, where it says, know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, I would like to take you back to 2 Chronicles. Way back in 2 Chronicles, I want to take you to chapter 6. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. Now, some of you may have thought I was taking you to chapter 7, where it talks about, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You've heard that, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way. That's what America needs to do. Then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal. We have a sick country. The philosophy of the world, you young people, really listen to me. The philosophy of the world is anti-Christ. And I have a problem with that. Because when people go against Christ, their lives crumble. And they don't know how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God. Now I want to give you the setting of this passage. In this passage we find Solomon, David's son, who is now the king, no doubt the wisest man that ever lived in this world. Think about that for a moment. That's amazing. And God gave him his wisdom. I want to draw your attention, if I may. I first of all want you to notice that in chapter 1, we won't go there, but in chapter 1, Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. Now, he could have asked for money. He could have asked for prestige. He could have asked for popularity. But all he wanted was the wisdom of Almighty God. Is that a smart request? If you have the wisdom of God, you will be a spiritual success. But many trade in the wisdom of God for the foolishness of mankind. And that's a trap that they fall into. And that's the thing that often disqualifies and destroys and ruins the people that go against the wisdom of God. Well, God was very pleased that he asked for wisdom. In chapter 2, Solomon determines to build the house of the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, the house which I am about to build, Solomon speaking, shall be wonderful great. The temple is going to be wonderful great. Now in the Old Testament, back before Solomon's temple, there was an old, we call it the Old Testament tabernacle. It was a tent. It was made of canvas. It was made of a lot of things. There was pure gold over portions of it. But it was the place where man met God. And he did it through sacrifices. We come to the time of Solomon's temple. Same thing. There were many sacrifices given. A sacrifice was used as an atonement for the sin of the people. That is, they would take a lamb, they would slit that lamb's throat, the blood would pour out, they'd catch the blood in a basin, they would pour it out on the altar of God as an atonement, and that word atonement means a covering for their sin. That's what they did. And Solomon is here making a dedication sermon, which we're not going to read. You can read that yourself if you would like, there in the beginning of chapter 6. But we're going to start in verse 12, where Solomon gives the prayer of dedication for the temple. Now let me give you one more temple I want to talk about. Look at me. This is the temple of God. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling what God did when He saved me. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That means that you do not belong to yourself. How do you like that? People say, well, this is what I'm going to do. Well, did you get God's permission? If you're saved, you're the temple of God. I also would say that if you're saved, you're a saint. You're one that has been born again. You're a follower of the Lord Jesus. And you certainly want to please the Lord, not yourself. Can I get an amen right there? You see what I'm saying? So many people are self-absorbed. You've heard of selfies, haven't you? How many have ever taken a selfie of yourself? I get a little nervous when I'm flipping through people's profiles and I see they're all pictures about them. And I'm going, I wonder if that's the only person they're really interested in. Amen. Don't get nervous. But listen, selfies now in the dictionary. They say if that word has been used so many times, it becomes a dictionary word. So I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with a selfie. But what I'm saying is this. If you're consumed with yourself, you've blocked out God. Is that dangerous for a Christian?
Yes.
It is devastating for a Christian to allow himself, herself, to become more important than the God that lives inside of them. Oh, may God help us as we look at the truths of God's Word. Let me give you a few statistics. The pastor mentioned a couple things that I thought were very important. Gallup came out with a poll recently. Less than 20% of the American people go to church on Sunday. Now you say, boy, that's terrible. Well, over in the country of France, where my brothers are missionaries, in a couple of weeks my wife and I will be flying over to Ireland and then Scotland, England, Brussels, Belgium, and then we'll be going to France. And all of those places we're going, we have revival meetings, so we need you to pray for us, okay? And I mentioned that specifically, that for the next 6-8 weeks, you'll pray for us every day. Bring our name before the Lord and say, oh God, help these Dan and Anne Marie as they go and minister to these people in other countries. The churches are extremely small. You want to know what the percentage of people that go to church in France was back 40 years ago? It was 3%. It's probably 1 point something, or maybe only 1% of the people go to church. They are secular humanists. They do not believe in God. Or if there's a God, I don't know who He is, and I don't want anything to do with Him. And they literally have become apostates, or they have become liberal to the point where anything goes. And I want to tell you, say, what's in Europe is coming to America. And though I want to say, and I want to challenge you young people especially, be very careful what you believe. For it may be in total violation of what God's Word says. I think we should examine everything we hear through the Word of God. And that way we can be strong in the Lord and have the power of God upon our lives. And my heart goes out to you college kids, especially you, that God would protect you and guard you against the philosophy of the world. I must say, have you considered the churches in America? It's amazing how many of our own churches run less than 50 on Sunday morning. And 75% of them are senior saints. That's scary. When the young people do not want to come to church, there's something wrong with the church. They're failing somehow to reach them. And it's so encouraging to see young people here tonight. I love it. And I thank God for your parents. And I pray that you will serve the Lord because you love Him. But think about this. There are many that don't attend Sunday school. Did you know you get double for your money when you come to Sunday school? How many remember that? You need to remember that next time. Amen. Come in and get double for your money, a double feature. Amen. And you always learn something in Sunday school because it's a teaching time. The Sunday morning worship is more of a preaching time. But they're all important. Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever something's going on for the young people. Oh, it's wonderful to have workers that labor. Let me tell you something. You're making an investment in the future generation whenever you come here to serve the Lord. And I think it's very important. And Solomon felt it was very important. I want to give you some things that God gave Solomon. I do want to mention before I get into those things that in many of the churches today, there's no invitation given, Pastor. No opportunity for people to come and make a decision for Christ. I think it's important that we offer an opportunity for people to come and pray. Or if they're lost, they need to come and be saved. Amen? What a wonderful thing it is when your pastor's standing down here pleading with people to get saved and somebody slips out of the pew and comes down and says, I want to be saved. Don't you love those Sundays? And then they follow the Lord in believers' baptism and they join the church and they get involved and start serving the Lord. That is the purpose and the reason for the church. Now, let's stand together and we're going to read the prayer of Solomon. Okay? Let's stand together and read the prayer of Solomon. It begins in verse 14. And if you can follow along, it'd be wonderful if you could do that. In verse 14 he says, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their hearts. He's praying this prayer to God, kneeling down with his hands raised. All of Israel is gathered together. They've washed themselves, they're clean, and they're ready to hear the prayer of dedication. He goes on to say, Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father, that which thou promised him and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, There shall not fall thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet to that thy children take heed unto their ways, notice young people, to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth, notice the next three words, toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant and to thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, notice the word, what is it? Forgive. You may be seated. I will go ahead and read the rest of this prayer as I give you seven quick points about why the temple there in Jerusalem was so important. Oh, I hope that you'll listen, because the temple, which was Solomon's temple, has now become your temple if you're saved. Now, folks, listen. If you've never been saved, you need Jesus. I beg you to get saved if you're not saved. And if you are saved, I beg you to realize the importance of this house, the Dover First Baptist Church, and this house where God tabernacles, and make sure that this house and this house are in perfect unity. Very important. Some people say, well, I don't think church is important. You have violated the principle of God's Word. Oh, I'll go there when there's nothing better to do. You just violated God's gift to you. You know what this church cost God? His Son. Jesus suffered and bled and died on an old rugged cross to pay for your sin debt that you could not pay for. Then, He saved you by His mighty power. You've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are now God's child. He dwells in you. And it's very important that you let Him have His way while you're here on the earth. Now all of you know that even Christians can be bad people. Even people that have gone to church for years can have a bad testimony in the community. I've heard of churches where if you want to see a good fight, just go in the month of January during the business meeting. Some churches are known as being gossip stations. If you want to know what all the gossip is, then go right down to that church. Because man, they got a bunch of flopping jaws and they'll tell you anything you want to hear. And stuff you shouldn't hear. That's not what the church is for. I want to give you seven ways we see that this place, and I'm talking about this place, the Dover First Baptist Church, and this place are in harmony with God in heaven. Number one, I want you to look with me at verse 22. If a man sin against his what? His neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house. Underline that phrase, in this house. He's talking about Solomon's temple. But I want you to notice, who's he talking to here? He's talking about people that have sinned against their neighbor. He's asking them to get right with God. Does that make sense? If you sinned against your neighbor, don't you think you ought to get right with God? Get right with your neighbor. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, don't come down to the altar to confess your sins until you've gone to your neighbor. The person that you've sinned against. And when you ask their forgiveness, then you come back to the altar and He will forgive you. Some people say, well, I got it all straightened out with God, but yet the people they sinned against, they've not gotten it straight. What does that tell you? That tells you God has not forgiven them. Interesting, isn't it? Notice the next verse. In verse 23 it says, then hear thou from heaven, and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing their way upon their own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. So what he's saying is there, he said, hear thou from heaven and forgive the people that have sinned against their neighbor and forgive them. But you know what has to happen? They have to be sorry for their sin. No sin's forgiven until the blood payment has been made for the sin committed. How many understand what I'm talking about? Does that make sense to you? So we must keep short sin accounts. That means if you sin against someone, you need to go to them and confess and say, I'm sorry, and then you need to go to the Lord and get His forgiveness. The church is a place where people can get right with God. Isn't that wonderful? Not only that, but a church, under point number one, a church can, by going to church, by feeding your soul on the precious Word of God, you can stay right with God. How does that sound? Wouldn't it be wonderful if none of us ever got in trouble with God? You say, well, I'm forgiven, but I'm not perfect. Well, you said it right. But we cannot use that as a license to sin. Well, if I sin, God will forgive me. That's shaming His blood sacrifice, isn't it? And we must not do that. Number two, the local New Testament church and our bodies are a place to receive God's provision. Look with me in verse 26. Let's move down to verse 26. Notice with me here. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, that's speaking of the Solomon's temple, and confess thy name and turn from their what? Their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of the people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. I want you to notice that the place was a place to receive the provision of God. Now here's what happened to these people. They got their eyes off the Lord and they got their eyes on the circumstances of life. They quit worshiping God. They quit honoring God with their life. And so God shut off the rain. Now I don't know about you, when Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, it stopped raining for 3.5 years. Can you imagine how dry it would be out here if you had ahead and had rain for 3.5 years? That got everybody's attention. Everybody's praying for rain. We're down in Texas. A few years ago, they hadn't had any rain. They were selling horses for $1 a piece just to get them out of there because they couldn't feed them. They couldn't give them water. And everybody was praying. What's it going to take to get America to wake up? That God is real and that God hates our sin and that God wants to rain His blessings upon us and His provision upon us instead of drying up the land. And we're in poverty, but then all of a sudden people that never pray, they begin to pray. Let me tell you something. When your world falls apart, you'll start praying. You know what will happen? You'll either get right with God or you'll go further into sin. That's the way it works. Oh, God's mad at me, so I'll show Him. You don't fool with God. No, you repent. You get on your knees and say, oh, God, I've sinned against You. Don't You want the rain from heaven to come down? Don't we want a showers of God's blessing upon us and upon the church? Don't you want to be happy in Jesus instead of pouting around and having pity parties? Amen. Wouldn't you rather enjoy the things of God than endure the problems that you have? I'm simply saying that God intended for us to be rained upon with His blessing. Showers of blessing. That's what we need. That's what America needs. America needs to realize they're in a drought. And they need to call upon God from heaven and ask Him to send rain upon the earth. This place right here is a place where we need showers of blessing. And the easiest way to get a shower is to confess our sin. Number three, it's a place to find shelter. Look with me in verse 28. We're moving right along here. Verse 28, if there be a dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting and mildew and locusts and caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, look at verse 29, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people, Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief and has spread forth the hand in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and what? Forgive and render unto every man according as unto all his ways whose hearts thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Notice that statement. God only knows. God knows only. Let me read it to you. For thou only, that's God, knowest the hearts of the children of men. Now listen to me closely. You may think there's somebody sinning and getting away with it. You may think that you can live your own life and do whatever you want and get away with it. Uh-uh. Remember this verse, whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And you know, people that sow to the wind, the Bible says they're going to reap a what? A whirlwind. That's dangerous, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? There was this young girl, she was in college, and she met this guy she liked, and he was a little worldly. And she kind of liked that. And so she started hanging around him. And he took advantage of her. Seriously took advantage of her. And I won't give you any details whatsoever. But he did something he should not have done. You know what her father said to her after that happened? He said, honey, you wanted to live on the edge. And you sowed to the wind. But you reaped a whirlwind. And this guy was beating her and mistreating her and taking advantage of her. And I want to tell you something. Don't play with sin under any circumstances, because it will absolutely destroy your life. How many have ever seen locusts when they go in and clear out the greenery? Has anybody ever seen that? You ought to look that up, Google it, amen, and find out where locusts, the destruction, just type in the destruction of locusts and what they can do. They can literally destroy anything that's living. And I want to tell you something. You that are saved, who's living inside of you? Is Jesus living inside of you? Satan cannot destroy you unless you give place to the devil. And that's why the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Never put yourself in a place where you could be taken advantage of. Very important. There's so many illustrations I could give of that, but I can't right now. We need a place of shelter, don't we? We need a place where we can get away. This is kind of an oasis in the middle of a desert. Come Sunday morning, man, I want to go to the oasis. I want to hear some singing that stirs my heart. I want to hear some preaching that touches my heart. I don't want to miss. Unless I'm providentially hindered. Do you know what providentially hindered means? You're either dead or you're contagious. In that case, stay home. Amen? But if you're not, don't stay home for the Dallas Cowboys. They're not worth it. Amen. If you DVR it, you can watch it later. Put the Lord always first in your life. My mom and dad, when they got married, they both came from nominal Christian homes. And they said, man, we want to really live for the Lord. My dad knew God had called him to preach. And my mother wanted to be a pastor's wife. She was excited. They got married. And they chose as their life verse Matthew 6:33. You might want to write that down. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Watch this. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know what we do? We turn that verse around and we say, I want all things. All things could get you in trouble. If you seek the kingdom of God first and you seek His righteousness, then God will give you all those wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. I wish I had the time just to tell you how wonderful God has been to me and to my wife since we surrendered our lives to serve the Lord. You wouldn't believe it. Our God is great and powerful, and He wants to do great things for you. Then go with me to verse 32. This is also a place where the lost can find salvation. Look at verse 32. Moreover, concerning the what? The stranger. Now, who's the stranger? Well, it explains who it is. Which is not of thy people, Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm. If they come and pray in this what? House, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know that thy name, and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. You know what this place is here? This place right here, Dover First Baptist, is a place where strangers can come and get saved. Think about it. If this church properly seeks to evangelize Dutchess County, and everybody in Dutchess County knows about this place, some hearts are going to get hungry. Strangers, maybe people from other countries who have come to America for the great American dream. I want to tell you something about the great American dream. That great American dream can turn into a nightmare. You know what happens to a lot of people, immigrants that come to our country and make it successfully? It takes them away from God. Money, prestige, power, position, success, prosperity. Often it'll cause them to say, man, look what I did. And that's dangerous. There are many people that are very rich, but they're very unhappy because they're living for the things of this world instead of living for God. Now, if a stranger comes and comes in here and meets Jesus, that's the greatest gift that any stranger could ever get in America, is to know Jesus. Do you believe that? Amen. And we need to let people know that it's not America that's so great. And I love America, and I believe America's a great country, or people wouldn't be coming in. I think they ought to come in the right way. Amen. Right? You agree? But I want to tell you something. The greatest thing about America is Jesus. Amen. I like that, don't you? The greatest thing about America is Jesus. When people know Him, and strangers come to see America, what they really could find is Jesus. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of Muslims getting saved. And I know that they want to take over our country. They really do. If they get saved, they won't. Amen. That's why we must witness to the Muslims. Amen. Some of you would like to see them all shipped out. I'd rather they get saved. Because if they truly get saved, they make good church members. Amen. I have a dear preacher friend that's up in British Columbia. And he's been having Muslims getting saved almost on a weekly basis. Amen. They have a heart just like you do. And they need Jesus. The Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons need Jesus. The Catholics need Jesus. I know some Baptists that need Him. Amen. Wouldn't you agree? So the lost can find salvation. And then I've got two more. It's a place to rally the saints of God together, the churches. Look at verse 34. If thy people go out to war against thine enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, what's he saying? He's saying that all of us are going to war. Did you know we're in a war? How many of you know we're in a war? The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. And he talks about your loins girt about with truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the prayer, that offensive weapon that we use. When we pray, we get a hold of God. We are in a battle for righteousness and for godliness. Excuse me. When we go out of this place, we are going out to battle. You must be armed. He's talking to you people here that know the Lord. Notice what he goes on to say. It goes right down there to verse 34. At the end of the verse, they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built unto thy name. Then hear thou from heaven their prayers and their supplications, and maintain their cause. You know what's been happening for the last, how many years, Pastor, this church is? 261. God Almighty has maintained the cause of this church. You know what the cause is? It's Jesus. He's the cause. Amen. Without Him, we have no cause. And our life is to be wrapped up in His cause. And you know what he was saying? When you go to battle and the enemy tries to attack you and the enemy tries to destroy you, you pray to this place. And God in heaven will protect you and will maintain your spiritual life, so that you can be a success instead of a failure. We always see failures, don't we? But oh, it's so refreshing to see faithful, dedicated, sold out, consecrated to God people. I want to be one of those people, don't you? I want God to maintain my cause. And I want to tell you, if we're the servants of the Lord, we're in His army, aren't we? And God takes care of His soldiers. You're in good hands with God. Amen? I know Allstate tries to do a good job, but you do need to be in the hands of Almighty God. Amen? I want to tell you something. When you're in His hands, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. You are fully protected against the onslaughts of the world and the wicked one. Oh, I'm so glad that He can maintain our cause. And the last one is, it's a place to restore backsliders. Notice with me in verse 36. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them out, over to thine enemies, and they carry them away captive unto the land far off and near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land, whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul and with all the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captive and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, I close with this. Every one of us know people that are backslidden. We know people that are away from God. And it's a serious offense when a person backslides. And none of us are above backsliding. Don't ever think. The Bible says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest ye be tempted. That's right. So we must never criticize people that have backslidden. We ought to pray for them. That's what the church is for, to pray for those that are away from God and challenge them to come back to God. Let's get back to God. Amen. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. If you were away from God, would you want anybody calling you? I got to tell you a story about a fellow that got away from the Lord. He just up and left the church. Pastor went by to see him. He said, I'm not coming back. The pastor said, why not? He said, since I've left, not one person has called me and said, where are you? Why are you out of church? And cared for them. He said, I'm not going back because they don't care about me anyway. I thought, that's sad, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to care for people and tell them when they're doing wrong? Oh, we don't want to get them not to like us. I don't care what they think. I care what God's Word says. The Bible says, restore them. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Go to people that are hurting. And so what do these people do? They say, well, I'm not going back there because nobody cared about me anyway. They're using you as an excuse to stay in sin. Don't you be guilty of allowing that to happen. Hey, we're a family. We're a body of believers. We're a group of people that believe that God ought to be honored and glorified in our lives. Amen? And so this is a place to restore people, not run them off. It's a place to help people know God and to know that when they sin against God, that we care about them and we don't want them under God's judgment. We want them to repent. I want to let you in on a little secret. A lot of people would rather leave the church than repent. Isn't that something? They'd rather do what they want to do than what God wants them to do. Boy, are they in trouble. What do we do in a case like that? We get on our face. I think tomorrow night I'm going to preach on fall on your face before you fall on your face. Amen. And may God help us never. May God help us never to fall in disgrace. Oh, may we live for Jesus and serve Him with all of our heart. You've been so, so attentive tonight. Let's pray together. May we? I'd like the pianist to come and softly play. And as she plays, I would like to ask everyone to stand. There may be someone here tonight that would say, you know, Brother Knickerbocker, I'm not saved. Pastor, would you come down front here? Nobody knows you more or loves you more than your pastor. I believe that. As Solomon directed Solomon's temple, you've got Brother Vecino here that loves you and prays for you and cares about you. If you're not saved, and you know it, he's standing right here. Would you come and just say to him, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died right now I'd go to heaven, but I want to make sure. And you'll leave here tonight knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt, no doubt anymore, that now you're saved. If you're not saved, I'd ask you right now, slip out of your seat and come and just say to the pastor, I'm not saved. Or you may have to say to him, I think maybe I got saved sometime, but I don't know for sure and I want to get it settled tonight. Some of you may be like that. Oh, listen, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And He will judge us for our sin. But if you confess your sin, He'll forgive you and cleanse you from it. But please take care of that right now. Would you do that? Would you come right now? If there's anyone like that. Now, you that are saved, do you realize what you have in Jesus? Your body is the temple of the Lord. You have the Dover First Baptist Church as your local New Testament church where you come and worship God. Maybe you ought to come tonight and just bow and pray for somebody that's away from God. Maybe a backslider. Maybe you ought to come and just say, Lord, help me to really live for You. Help me to care about lost people more. Help me to read my Bible. Some of you aren't reading your Bible even at all. Maybe once in a while, but you're not faithful in the Word. You're not faithful in prayer. Maybe you're not faithful to church. Maybe you should be a member of the church, but you're not. Come and let the preacher know. Say, Pastor, I need to join. And he'll take care of that and help you with it. You come right now. Would you come? Come ahead. You don't have to wait. If you know God's dealing with you, God bless you. You come. The altar's here where you can pray. Maybe you've got some burdens on your heart. Just come and talk to the Lord about it. Amen. Just come and say, oh God, and just pray to Him and talk to Him. He lives. He's real. If there's any question about your salvation, don't be afraid to come up and talk to the pastor. Or you need some help in your Christian life. Amen. Oh, this is so important. God, hear Thou from heaven. Hear these prayers, oh God. Please. Meet the needs of these people, oh God. When Solomon said, hear Thou from heaven. God, we want our prayers to be heard. We want You to hear us. Forgive us where we have failed You, Lord. Oh God, may we get rid of our sin. Anything that's hindering us, oh God. May we confess it and forsake it. May you send mercy and forgiveness. May You maintain our cause. May You help us to live a successful Christian life, oh God. Our young people, oh God, I beg You to help them to realize that they're living in a wicked world. They need Your protection. Guide them and direct them, we pray. Hear Thou from heaven. And forgive us, O God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Pastor?
There may be one or two that did not feel compelled to come forward tonight. I understand that. But I want you to know that I'm here. And up till Wednesday, Evangelist Knickerbocker will be here. We'd be happy to talk to you privately. I know sometimes people can be a little embarrassed. No need to, but I understand it. God loves you. The thing that I want to know for sure, and I know Evangelist Knickerbocker does, is that if you were to die, you know you're going to heaven. Not that you deserve it, none of us do. But you know God loves you. And He loves you with an undying love. He loves you and He tells you to come just as you are. Don't tell God, well, when I clean up my act, you know, I'll think about it. Often said, you can't get better to get saved. You got to get saved to get better. You'll never get better until you do get saved. Amen. Father, thank You for this beautiful evening of preaching and song. And I pray from my heart, God, that You are Father, glorified. Because we have exalted Jesus who has saved us. And we want to see the Lord Jesus save others.
Yes.
So God, save the soul that may be nearest hell. You know who that person may be. And Lord, if there's none here, we rejoice. And we pray that we as Your children can grow closer to You. Rid us of the sins in our lives that hinder us from being all that we can be for Jesus Christ. Bless us now, bless the refreshments, and bless the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.